You know, today, the title of the sermon is Imitating Christ, okay? Imitating Christ and Living Without Shame. And the passage, the main text, is a verse that's very dear to my heart, Galatians 2:20. This was the first passage that I think I memorized when I was in college, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, you know, the Bible that I memorize is the life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And God's people said, amen. I just finished the series, Life in Christ. And it was about how Christ flows in us and overflow in us in our relationship, in truth, in healing, in identity, and lordship. Today, I want to start a new series. And the question that I have is, what does it look like to have Jesus flow through us? And so the series title is Imitating Christ. And today, again, Living Without Shame, Living Without Shame. There are many important issues around us, important world issues. For example, COVID, politics, the climate, social justice, injustice, poverty. And we just could go on and on and on. And those issues are very important, are issues that concern all of us. It's an issue I think about all the time, issue I want to personally help, issue I want to be involved with, and issues to take actions. But the problem is when we focus so much on those issues that we don't deal with our own personal issue. You know, we can do tremendous good for others and the world around us when we deal with our own inadequacies, the flaws and character issues. If you and I don't have our own house in order, right? House in order. And you know, this is the vision of our church, Four Wonders Breaking Boundary. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving in us, and so that we could, you know, our house is in order in Jerusalem, and then we go further to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I wanted to say this before I came up, but then got messed up because of the presence. And, you know, I want to really first thank all the outreach ministry in Catalyst. There's the BGM, Beautiful Gate Ministry, Catalyst City, JFM, you know. And it is because there's ministries, our people are heading and praying and reaching out in that ministry. I'm very thankful because if I had to do all, you know, regional youth, the community, you know, Metro and Bergenfield, BGM going into Patterson. I wouldn't be, just because of those ministry, I could do what's really I'm passionate about, which is mission. That's why I was able to spend so much time developing Montreal ministry, you know. And I'm very thankful for those ministries, because as your pastor, have to do all that, I would burn out. I would have been burnt out. I would have been upset. I would have been bitter. I wouldn't be able to do, you know, what I believe God personally called me to do, and that is missions. That is mission. And so from the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful for Catalyst City. I am so grateful for JFM. I am so grateful for Beautiful Gate Ministry. And we need to be grateful for those outreach too, because it's giving us an opportunity to go into Samaria. You know, Trixie said, you know, Patterson is Judea. I look at it as Samaria. Okay, I look at it more as Samaria. You know, the way I look at Jerusalem is your home. You know, Judea is our church, and we break, and then go into Samaria. But as we do that, we're able to go into nations, And again, we're spending a lot of time trying to break boundaries, okay? Okay, I'm really going away from the sermon that I prepared. But like, what excites me is something that will stir you, something that will draw you near to Christ, something that will make you pray, something that will, you have to take a step of faith, you have to take a risk, something that will take, faith to do. It doesn't take much faith to come to church on a Sunday. Amen? It might be inconvenient, but it doesn't take much faith. But it does take faith to go into Patterson, trusting the Lord, going into Bergenfield. It takes tremendous faith to want to minister to the youth of this whole region. It takes tremendous faith. And it's going to happen. Montreal's almost all set. We have a pastor, and we're going to partner as a church. And this is what I'm picturing. We're going to have different weekends that you guys could go. Commit a weekend to Montreal or 1 week to Montreal, And you know what's going to happen when you go? You're going to pray more than you did during this time. When I'm at Montreal, something happens, I'm walking in the street and I go, they're lost. They're lost. Bergenfield, I forget. Bergen County, when I walk around, I forget because this is my home. But Montreal, when I walk in the street, as people pass by, I can't forget. They're lost. And it makes me pray more. It makes me want to love more. It makes me go outside of myself. COVID has made us go inside ourselves. And the outreach, the mission, is the way our church, we're going to go outside of ourselves. Amen? Now, I don't know how to come back to the sermon. If you don't have your own house in order, if you don't focus on what is going on in you, in your heart, in your soul, in your thought, your emotion, you will not change what's going on outside of us. All right? And again, outreach, mission, it really makes me focus. Oh, man, I have to deal with this issue. I have to work through this. You and I can point fingers at all the things wrong with the world and be clueless and don't care or run away from what's going on inside. It's easy to complain about the big problems, the big world problems, and not deal with the personal problems, personal issues, like character flaws, our fears, our inadequacies, selfishness, addictions, our responsibility in relationship, hidden things, and past brokenness. To change ourselves, we look at, this is a lot of people, to change, this is our solution. We need to look for the right job. Somehow that's going to transform our life when we have the right job. We need the right person, and that's going to transform our life, or the right circumstances. And so we look for things outside of us to change us, but God focus on becoming. Not the right circumstance. Look for the right circumstances, the right degree, the right major, the right college. That's not what God's looking at. But God focus on you becoming the right person. Say to your neighbor, I want to become the right person. So what is that right person? Right person, that person is becoming more and more like Christ. That becomes more gracious like Christ, that's kind like Christ, that's forgiving like Christ, that's humble like Christ, that's also courageous like Christ, That's sacrificial like Christ. That's loving like Christ. That's holy like Christ. Being like Christ. And that's why I'm titling Imitating Christ during this series. Instead of being like Christ, there's something that's going to prevent us from imitating Christ, and that is shame. That is shame. Shame can be your strongest driver. Instead of Christ driving you, shame could drive you and I. You can work very hard in life, not because of Christ, but because of shame. You could parent your children, your child. Okay? You're trying very hard to be a good parent, not from Christ, but from shame. You can do ministry out of shame. Can you believe that? It doesn't seem like it fits, but it's true. Right? You could do ministry out of shame. You can build a big ministry out of shame. Shame can control you. It could be the major source of motivation. It could even become your identity. Shame. What is shame? Shame is this intensely painful. It's this intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed. There's something wrong with us. And therefore, okay, this is the reason the devil uses shame. Therefore, unworthy of love and belonging. We're not worthy of it. That we are unworthy of connection. And the reason the devil uses shame, that we are unworthy of connection with God, who loves us. See, the devil manipulates people. You know, before he will tempt you and tempt you to fall into temptation. Before, you sin, the devil will minimize sin before you do it. He will say to you, it's no big deal. Everyone is doing it. It isn't that bad, and no one will find out. No one will find out. And then when we commit the sin, the devil will maximize the sin, meaning shame. The devil will shame you and condemn you. The devil uses shame to disconnect you with God. When there's shame, what's some of the things that you believe? God will never love me again. God is so disappointed in me. God is angry with me. God could never use me again. God can't work in me. Shame takes you away from Christ. You know, the shame-based thinking is, I'm not enough. I'm always lacking. And so humanly, we try to work harder, prove your worth, try to meet everybody else's need, and it's devil's way to set you up for more failure, more shame. The Bible does say, it is the truth. There is some truth to shame, meaning the Bible says we're all sinners, okay, and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, that's what the Bible says. We're sinner. Therefore, if you focus on your sin, you feel you're never enough. You will be vulnerable to shame. And that's what the devil uses, our sin, to shame us. But as Christians, more than your sin, the good news you should embrace, the gospel you embrace. You see, if you move the focus from who I am not, which is the voice of shame, to who Christ is. This is our call as a Christian. Look at little Christ, what Christ has done, not what sin has done in me or what sin is doing, what Christ has done. And that is imitating Christ. Take the focus on me and focus on Christ. And this is the good news. This is the good news. Christ doesn't hold onto your sin. Okay? Christ doesn't hold on to your sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Okay? To set us free, he had to go to the cross. He endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did Jesus do? The Bible said he scorned his shame. Okay? He scorned his shame. Jesus endured the cross, hated and scorned the shame that's in you. Not hated you, but hated the shame. That shame that robs people from intimacy with God. Shame that crushes your soul and kills your joy. What did Jesus do for you? It is not point out what's wrong with you. He solved the problem of sin. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin. To those who receive and believe Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, God forgives. He shows grace. He loves you. He cleanses you. He redeems you. He sanctifies you. He will transform you. He releases power in you. And this is a promise that God gave to each you and I that I hold on to. Even though, you know, I might not feel it, even though I'm feeling weak, there's this promise that God gives to us. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Okay? You and I need to recognize he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to forsake you. Jesus is for me. Right? When there's shame hitting you, that's what you need to proclaim. Jesus is for me. He is before me. He is behind me. He is in front of me. Jesus surrounds me. See, this is the truth. This is the promise. Okay? As a Christian, you are not bound by your past. You're not bound by your failure, your weakness, your brokenness, the lies. This is the truth. You are not a prisoner. You are not in chains. The chain has been broken off. The prison door is open. You are not clothed in shame. But you're clothed in Christ's righteousness. You see, no, doesn't matter. You know, if the evil spirit keeps speaking lies to you, you don't have to listen to the spirit of fear. In Christ, there's another voice. The spirit of this perfect love that casts out of fear. You're not dead. Situation is not hopeless. Right? You're not stuck. This is so important. This, you need to believe this. You need to believe this when you're being hit with shame. Right? Not listen to the shame and try more self-effort, willpower, please people, prove yourself. No. No, this is not hopeless. Power. Jesus Christ. Three lands in the book of Exodus that God's people went through. There's Egypt, where they were, God's people were in bondage. I call it not enough. They never had enough. Right? You know, when they were in the wilderness saying, oh, this pot of meat, we had everything else. We came from. We became a Christian. They forgot. It was a land of not enough. And then they went into the wilderness, and land of barely enough. Barely, you could, their manna would fall in the morning, scatter, like so much manna, right? But what happened? You know, the next day, it would just rot. They just were able to eat just enough. And then what God wanted for his people was to go into the promised land, more than enough, a land more than enough, and flowing with milk and honey, more than enough. Again, what God is trying to say is our human understanding, more than enough is, you know, it's just like vacation, it's like comfort, it's luxury. That's not what, it's not human understanding. Meaning, you go into that conflict, you will conquer the enemy. You'll take that land. In Egypt, the devil coming into your life and stealing your territory, your soul, your family, your purpose. And God's saying, I'm leading you to the promised land. You're going to take back the territory. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be more than a conqueror. Right? This is God, what God wants you to do. And something in you, as you hear, I want what God wants you to do. God did not want his people to live in the wilderness. It was supposed to be a place just to pass through, not live. It was supposed to be a temporary journey. This land, this wilderness of shame, I want to speak into your heart. You're not supposed to be there. My brother, did you hear me? Be stuck there. You know, when I look at the Exodus, it's because the people that hear that laugh, complain too much. They were so used to old. They talk like it's the best ever. They were used to the old. They got used to shame. They got used to the bondage. They got used to the rejection. Used to the God's will is not for you to be stuck in shame. Same thing with fear, with your sin, your brokenness, your failure. And how I want us to come out of this wilderness. And I want you to say to your neighbor, my God is so big. All right. So there's shame. Your God is bigger than that shame. There's fear. Your God is bigger than that fear. Our brokenness. Your God, our God is bigger. The sin, my God is bigger. He is stronger. And you know, I want to encourage you. You know, I believe in you. I really believe in you. That is why I signed up to be your pastor. If I didn't believe in you, I don't understand pastors who, you know, like a higher hand, they pastor a church and they don't believe in the people of the church. I believe in you, in Christ. you can step out of the shame. You can do that now. You don't have to wait. In Christ, step out of the shame. Step out of the fear. You will, I believe, you will be healed from your brokenness. You will be set free from your bondage, washed clean from your sin. I believe you were created for much more than just struggle in life, more than just a daily routine, comfort, or accumulation of stuff. And you know, I'm in the same boat with you. I too have many weaknesses, too many to mention. I make countless mistakes. Each day, the enemy does accuse me. It's not just me, no. Every day, each day, the enemy tries to steal from me, fill me with doubt and fear. You know, we get disappointed, we get tired, we get disillusioned. But you and I have to make a choice. Each day, we've got to make this choice. Feel sorry for ourselves, get angry at somebody else, blame, complain, get depressed. Do you notice anybody who does that? They're stuck. They're stuck. Okay? If you do that, you're stuck. Or take a step out of the wilderness and go toward the promised land. Go toward the promised land. Yeah, well, you know, many of us come from dysfunctional family. You and I can complain all our life about that. Till the end of our life, we could complain about the dysfunctional family that we come from. We can be bitter. We could feel sorry for ourselves. We can go the opposite direction of what God wants us to take. We could choose to rebel. Right? But what I'm asking you today, choose not to go the opposite direction. Let's choose to be like Christ. Say to your neighbor today, this is the day I choose to imitate Christ. That was too long. Sorry, I'm just thinking. Gee. Yeah. You know, with shame, how are we as human beings going to imitate Christ? And it's simple. Okay? It's simple. It's the gospel message. Receive the mercy of God. Okay? Receive the mercy of God. And this is what my personal relationship with God. God doesn't work really hard in my life so that I will be famous. Okay? And, you know, I looked up the YouTube page for the church, and all you see like hundreds of sermons, right? Hundreds of sermons that I did in this church. And look at the view count. 10. Yeah, if God wanted to work really hard, I think it should be like, you know, in the 100,000s, you know, or something, you know, 1 million maybe, but, you know, 10, 15, you know, and Yeah. So I thank you, that 10 people that watch this every week. He doesn't really work that hard for me to be popular, you know. And personally in my life, he doesn't really work that hard so that, you know, I would have this big, you know, worldwide impacting ministry, you know. I mean, huge ministry, you know. But in my personal relationship with God, he works really hard. He does. In my personal, he works really hard. How do I know that? He went to the cross, and he died for me so that I can receive his mercy. Okay? So that I can receive his mercy. And because of God's mercy, you don't have to live in shame. Some of you are giving shame too much power. You're giving shame too much power over your life. And what Christ is saying, you don't have to. You don't have to. It's like our kids, you know, they're starving themselves. And as parents, you know, you don't have to. You know, you could, there's food. You don't have to starve yourself. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be weak. Right? See, because of God's mercy, I don't have to prove my worth, you know. I don't, you know, if you look at a workaholic, they work a lot. Why? To prove their worth through their work. But if you see God's mercy, your work doesn't have anything to do with your worth. You know, when I was in college, you know, you say grades, you know, we think grades to get a better job, you know, later. No, you know what? You know, it was really to say from my friends, I got an A, and to feel like they accept me or they approve of me. That's what I use grades for. But when you receive God's mercy, students, college students, high school students, when you receive God's mercy, your grades is not what brings acceptance in your life. You know that when you receive God's mercy. When you don't have God's mercy, you go, I have to prove myself. I have to work harder to be accepted, to be loved. Your worth is in the fact that you are a child of God. And God loves me perfectly as a heavenly father. Your value is not in what you do, but who you are in Christ. God loves me and shows me mercy. I don't have to prove my worth to anyone. And it's easier said than done, but when I realize that more and as I have that truth in my heart, I'm happiest when I minister that way. I'm happiest as a father when I know that truth. I'm most joyful. You know, again, God loves me and shows me mercy. I don't have to prove my worth to anyone. If somebody, for say, you know, think I'm not worth much, if I know God's mercy and receive his mercy, it should not bother you. It should not bother me. Because God sees truth and he never lies. God says, I am worth his sacrifice, his love. God says to you, you are worth my life. That's what God says to you. I don't have to be stuck in shame when I receive the mercy of God. You see, shame stops us from growing spiritually. Shame stops us from change and transformation. Shame will stop you, make you stuck so that you don't walk in freedom. Shame will stop you from healing. Apostle Paul was the most feared person in the whole Christian world. Paul's goal before he became a Christian was to put all the Christians in prison and execute them. He had a terrible, terrible past. And you know what he wrote? Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, what's going to overcome that? The Bible didn't say, okay, Paul, now work harder. Beat yourself up. Right? Punish yourself. No. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, Paul says, I was shown mercy. I was shown mercy. there's all the, I don't know, maybe anger, you know. You hurt people. You hurt people that was close to you. And Paul said, that's me. But you know what the solution is? Mercy of God. The mercy of God. It's not your willpower. It's not your talent. It's not your achievement that will make you move forward out of the wilderness of shame. It is the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. There was a frog at the bottom of a very small well, and in this small well was dirty water. That kind of, to me, represents shame. This frog thought, this is it, you know. This is the only thing I have. And tried to be content with living in this small well with dirty water. But this frog jumped out of the well. and he went out of the well. And when he went out of the well, he saw a pond. He didn't stop there. He hopped, went a little further, and he saw this great lake. And he decided to hop more. And he went a little further, and he saw this mass ocean, this great ocean. And my brothers and sister, I'm here to tell you and to remind you, God's mercy for your life is so much bigger and better and greater than you can ever imagine. We have been raised in this small, dark well with dirty water. How do we get out? Embrace the mercy of God. Climb outside of the well of shame. And go a little further, beyond the fear now, beyond the bondage. How do I go further beyond the bondage? The mercy of God, beyond the dysfunction, beyond the lies, beyond, how do you go beyond pride? You know, to me, pride, and I look at myself, the pride, man, the Bible talks about how sinful it is. But, you know, most of us are okay with it. Yeah? Well, even pride receives the mercy of God. Really understand the mercy of God. See, pride is about what I can do. I'm better than you. Mercy makes you humble. You take your eye away from yourself and look at Jesus Christ. Go beyond the pride. Go beyond the rebellion. How do we do that? Receive the ocean of God's mercy. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray.